Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good. So look, all of a sudden this storm pops up, and a lot of people were not expecting it, and I think it's a reminder that you can't always plan life. This, even though there might have been some indications of real weather watchers like yourself that it might do something, this was a surprise to a lot of people.
Well, I will say this season has been so crazy, even recently when the models are kind of hinting or sniffing out something. Thus far, we really haven't seen a lot of those come to fruition. So while we were talking about, heck, we had the rain late last week with a little system that was a clear circulation off the Texas-Louisiana coast, and it didn't do anything. And, you know, past seasons, that would have likely exploded. This one is kind of in a combination of the low we were dealing with last week, as well as that same system that we were actually tracking 2 weeks ago coming off of Africa, moved across the Atlantic, did nothing. Moved across the Caribbean, did nothing, then starts to move into the Bay of Campeche, southwestern Gulf. It interacts with this little low, and bingo, we've got something trying to form. And I will say it's even still trying to form. I was just looking at the satellite. Thunderstorms around the center, while they looked super impressive all day today, have been collapsing. The conditions across the Gulf are not the most conducive for this to just explode in strength. So what I want viewers, listeners to understand, while this is our first threat since Ida, this is not an Ida. This is not going to just explode in strength. And while that is always a possibility, nothing is indicating that right now. It's got a lot going against it, more going against than for it, right up to the point of landfall. And thankfully, this is going to be a fast-moving storm, which Ida was not.
Yeah, because it seems like this, you know, is happening in the Gulf at a time when the Gulf should be really ripe for hurricane advancement, improvement.
Well, and we've got a lot of folks will show the water temperatures. We're always going to have those high water temperatures in the Gulf, the Atlantic Basin, especially into September. What we also have is a lot of dry air, which the models don't always do a great job of with regards to how it will impact the development of a tropical system. Dry air may be already doing a little bit of a number on this storm, as well as some very strong wind shear. Wind shear is what helps to rip these storms apart. And one thing that we do have going for us, right up to the point of landfall, so late tonight, the rest of the day today and into tomorrow, Tuesday, will really be the prime opportunity for this to organize and strengthen. Once we get closer to landfall, sometime midday, afternoon, evening on Wednesday, we're going to have some dry air, which helps to weaken these storms, and a strong wind shear right along the coastline, which would also help to weaken the storm. So it really is going to be a question through the night tonight and into tomorrow what it's capable and able to do before it starts to reach those even more hostile conditions.
Yeah, we talked to the National Weather Service earlier, and you have more information than they did. They didn't seem to bring up the dry air at all and thought that the conditions were okay for further development. They also
And that's really kind of in the near future, but I'm okay. Looking at some of our models that I'm preparing for our 5 o'clock newscast, and there's a lot of dry air that is going to play a big part in this. And like I said, this is just in the last couple of hours. The satellite presentation of Francine is not nearly as impressive as it was a little bit earlier.
Okay. What would you expect for the New Orleans area in terms of inches of rain?
You know, we were looking at some of the models, and they're kind of all over the place. One thing I'd noticed, I was looking at I couldn't sleep last night, just concerned, making sure I've got everything
to go. You're so caring.
Well, it's more of that. It's just I know these kind of situations, we tend to be pretty busy with social media, radio updates, online, on air. But I was looking at it, and at one point, the highest totals were kind of in the range of 4 to 6 inches. You know, that would all come in Tuesday and Wednesday. That would probably lead to a little bit more widespread flooding. Some of those numbers have backed down a little bit. This doesn't look to be as much of a rain issue for southeast Louisiana, southern Mississippi, because it should be moving fairly quickly. I think it's going to be more of the stronger gusty winds, depending upon how close the center gets to southeast Louisiana, as well as the coastal flooding. This is going to have some fairly significant storm surge, and all of our low-lying coastal areas, anyone outside of the hurricane risk reduction system, will definitely see the high water. So we're talking all of the Louisiana coastline and then into the lake. So from Venetian Isles, New Orleans east, and then that water, once it gets into the lake, makes its way toward the river parishes. So I would expect to see some high water in those areas late tomorrow, but more so Wednesday, as the storm is moving toward the coast.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can't sleep when you know a storm's developing. You can't sleep. I can't sleep the night before a debate. So you know, it's just a different business.
So then you won't get any tonight.
That's right. All right. So the National Weather Service earlier was talking about the biggest threat was west of I-55. Do you still agree with that?
Yes, that still looks to be the case. And I will say we haven't gotten the 4 o'clock advisory from the Hurricane Center. But one thing I posted on social media was that we did see the model consensus take a shift to the west. So that for, okay. You know, I know we have listeners all across the Gulf South, but for New Orleans, that is a better scenario. That does put the brunt of it a little bit more towards, say, the Lake Charles Lafayette area, where for a time it was looking maybe from Lafayette to the Baton Rouge Morgan City area. So we have seen the models take a little bit of a shift. We'll see if the Hurricane Center buys into that shift. It may be because the storm, as I said, is not really in a great environment for further intensification. So it may be that center is struggling to develop, and so the models will keep shifting. I really expect to see more shifts in the models probably until midday tomorrow once we finally start to see that more northeastward motion. So I would expect more, maybe not dramatic changes, but more fluctuations in the models probably through the next 24 hours.
When do you think a rain associated with Francine will begin, and what kind of winds can we expect in New Orleans?
The winds will probably start gusting. I would say sustained. We're probably looking at about 30 miles an hour, and gusts could be upwards of 50. You know, that's going to do some minor damage, as we know, and certainly power outages. I've had my phone blowing up with text messages from family and friends asking about power outages, and, you know, I sneeze in Metairie, and, you know, you got power outages in Treme. So it doesn't take much. So we'll definitely see the power outages from these wind gusts. But thankfully, as I heard someone from Entergy talking about earlier, once those winds diminish, which should be not long into the night Wednesday, those crews can go out and then start making the repair. So I'm hopeful that it won't be a long duration with the power outages. And I'll be honest, the number Ida did to us 3 years ago tends to kind of clean out a lot of the loose branches, a lot of the weaker trees. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that we don't see too much of that from this storm. Again, this is not an Ida. I know the last threat we had was Ida, but this is not comparable to a Laura that Lake Charles saw, an Ida that we saw. This is not looking to be one of those storms.
Yeah, wasn't there Isaac just before Ida that really hit like St. John the Baptist and parishes west of New Orleans?
Absolutely, and that's why I think more of when I say the coastal flooding, I do refer as well to the inland flooding from the water coming into the lake and then moving toward the river parishes. I do think that may be more of a concern than widespread flooding from rain with this. Yeah. And then the gusty winds, as I said, sustain. You know, you'll still be able to function. I wouldn't recommend being out and about on Wednesday, but this is not something that you will just have to bunker in for the duration. This is something that people can still function, not ideally, but it is manageable.
Well, that is it's very positive news as this continues to develop, but as we know, we don't know what's going to happen, so we'll continue to
and things can change on a dime.
All right, one quick question. If Eric Paulson goes on the air at 6, what time does he actually wake up?
5:54 maybe.
I was thinking more like 7:30.
Oh, you know, that's when his eyes are open. Whether he's there or not is, that's anyone's guess.
All right, Chris, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Good
to talk to you. Chief Meteorologist Chris Franklin, WWL.